Network. Philadelphia rode a 9-game winning streak into Seattle, only to see it fall 24-10 to the Seahawks. The Saints gained control of the NFC South after taking down the Panthers 31-21. The Vikings escaped Atlanta, topping the Falcons 14-9, and the Rams pulled away from the Cards 32-16. The Patriots controlled the Bills 23-20, Jacksonville beat the Colts by 20, and the Titans handled the Texans 24-13. The Jets continued the Chiefs' downward spiral 38-31. The Chargers are back to 500 by beating the Browns 19-10. And the Raiders took care of Geno Smith and the G-Men 24-17. The Ravens crushed the Lions 44-20. Jimmy Garoppolo won his first start as the Niners topped the Bears 15-14. The Packers kept pace in the NFC with a win over the Bucs in overtime 26-20. And Miami down Denver 35-9. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. Only Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards. No other lender comes close to that level of client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives our clients a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online in minutes. No one else has anything like it. And our people, each one of our 17,000-plus team members throughout Detroit, Cleveland, and Phoenix provides absolute client satisfaction each and every day. So why would you go anywhere else to get your mortgage? Go to America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
504, welcome back, welcome in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer, Kyle Mann. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Cyclone men's basketball on the way. They've got Northern Illinois at Hilton Coliseum tonight. You can hear the Cyclone Radio Network presentation at 7 o'clock on 1600. On our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. We've got a little Monday night football action headed your way. Plenty more to come. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is going to be with us to kick off the third and final hour tonight. We'll talk Pinstripe Bowl. Yes, the Pinstripe Bowl. So many people are excited about the Pinstripe Bowl. And when I say so many people, I mean Gary Barta and Kirk Ferentz. We'll hear a little bit about what they had to say about Iowa's 31st bowl trip. You know, if they win this one this year, they're going to finally update the inside of Kinnick Stadium. Have you ever noticed that? They've got the bowl games, and it's on. There are like four or five bowl games in each segment. They have not updated since, I believe, the 2011 Insight Bowl. They've left off the last couple bowl games because, well, the Hawkeyes haven't won them. Plus, they're doing the whole North End Zone construction thing, which I'm sure is also a part of it. Mac McCausland is with us on the phone line. Mac, going to talk a little Hawkeye hoops with us. And before we talk about the travesty that is Penn State beating Iowa on its home court in a Big Ten opener the first week of December, which is just completely zany, did you get a free bowl of soup with that hat you were wearing on Saturday at Carver Hawkeye Arena? You look like Art Carney from the Honeymooners.
It was a present from one of our friends, and that was Coach Sherm Dillard. He saw me wear his one time at a practice. And he goes, God, you look pretty good in that. I have to get you one. And I told him, you get me one, I'll get you something back. You know. So now I've got to come up with a present to go back. Thanks for the comment. I've had a lot of people comment and even compliment me. So, no free soup. Maybe a free trip to New York. I don't know. No, probably not that either.
Well, maybe if you're looking to get him something in return, maybe a backup point guard or two, because that depth issue continues to rear its ugly head.
You know, and I heard you use the word travesty and so forth. I hope people still take a deep breath and, look a little bit realistically at this team. Again, they're playing just freshmen and sophomores and a few minutes out of one junior bear. Other than that, you really no seniors, no other juniors contributing, giving you numbers. And on the horizon. You still have Connor McCaffrey. Now, that horizon may be moving out there a ways, January, maybe even February. People that have had mono, or you know, people in their family had mono, that's not an easy thing to come back from. It's not like a cold. When you get the cold over with, within a couple of days, you feel pretty good. It takes a long time to gain your strength, gain the pounds back. And then, you know, next year, Mr. Muscatine, Mr. Iowa, Mr. World comes in, and he's having a terrific high school season already and should be able to step in and give us minutes, and I mean plenty of minutes. That'll be that shooter, and maybe even a backup point. I mean, he's got good size. And then thirdly, you got Patrick McCaffrey sitting in the wing. So you've got three guys that are legitimate top 100, two of them probably top 50, that are already committed to Iowa. So it keeps moving up. Now, I don't disagree that the point guard position has been tough. Even Jordan Bohannon doing a heck of a job. But he really, I think, could really see some good minutes at a two if you had another one. And he's got to go, you know, 32, 35, 38 minutes, because anything else, you don't really gain a lot. You certainly don't gain a creator. And that's not any fault of Brady's. He's recruited as a shooter, and they've had to move him over. So, you know, you've got those situations. You're playing two freshmen. They're both 6'11", 7 foot. And this is the thing I always remind people, Todd, is when seven-footers come in, they are now running 92 feet both ways every day, practice, games. When in high school, you know, depending on states, it's 82 or 84 feet. So it is a much smaller court. They are not carrying 250 pounds on their back once they get to the free throw line like they are in college. And I think it's taking just a while, because if you look at the way Cook played last year and the way he's playing this year, I hope you would agree with me that he's made remarkable strides already, both defensively. He's guarding the ball, looking for blocks. Offensively, he's really trying to challenge people, where I don't think we're seeing that out of Nunji or Garza yet, but I think we will, maybe even by February, because these kids are getting a lot of minutes early.
Mac, pardon me for using a little bit of football terminology here, but is this team right now searching for their identity offensively?
I would say yeah. I think that's a good way to observe it. In fact, if you look around the conference, I'm not so sure about half the teams aren't looking. I mean, again, we've seen Penn State be the team that almost always loses those last 90-second games. You know, they just can't get it done. They've got veterans now. I mean, Carr is really good. I think their bigs are good. And, you know, Chambers has been around the league now. So they're the team that has made that upward move from 9th and 10th to challenge for the middle. You look at Wisconsin, they used to be the upper 3 or 4. I'm not sure when you look at that team, they're going to finish in the top 4 like they have for the last 10 years. You look at Ohio State, change of coaches. One game they win by 20, and the next game they lose by 15. I think they're trying to find their identity. I think the team we're going to play tonight, if they turn on the lights and it all works there, you know, they're still looking for their identity. New coach, new players, much more defensive emphasis than Tom Crean, who had offensive emphasis. And neither is right or wrong. You just got to have both. But it takes a while for that mindset to flip over. I mean, last game, I think Indiana just had one player scoring double figures. So when you start looking at things like that, Minnesota is that team from 3 years ago. It was a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, just like Iowa is now. They're now juniors and seniors with a sprinkling of underclassmen. They are pretty good. I mean, they're going to be upper division team. Nobody will want to play them. Morgan can block the world. He's got terrific timing. So you're seeing a little bit of change, I think, in the entire conference right now. And we just have to bear a little bit. I think the other thing that's new I'm not sure the coaches know how to deal with it or some of the older players. Hey, you're playing conference games like now, December 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. That's never happened. Then you're going to go back and play some other games. Then you're going to have to ramp up at the end of December. So there's just a lot of stuff going on with this team. But I will tell you, I've been more than impressed with Tyler Cook and his physique and his emphasis on using it and attacking rather than just waiting for that one time that he could go dunk it. He's doing some other things now.
Mac McCausland, talk a little Hawkeye hoops with us here on KGYM as we get ready for Iowa and Indiana tonight. And very timely reference for those of you who didn't catch Mac's turn the lights on. They didn't have any power at Assembly Hall earlier today. That has been rectified. I think it's important. I want to ask you how important a win would be tonight for this team's mental outlook on things, because if they lose, they have to stare at 0-2 in Big Ten play for 3 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what I even thought to myself about the Saturday game. I go, you know, you're home. Penn State's still an up-and-coming. Are they the hunted or the hunter like Northwestern, you know, was last year? This may be the new Northwestern. They're going to get some games because people go, we can beat Penn State. Well, it didn't happen. And I thought that would be a great game to get. You're home. It's a weekend. Then you have some emphasis going to Indiana. Well, now you got your back to the wall a little bit because you don't like to be 0-2, 0-3. So tonight I'll just be interested in the rebound energy. And I don't mean rebound going after the ball. I'm just talking for 40 minutes or 45 because I expect a very good game, a very close game. More typical Big Ten. I think it'll be pretty physical. Be interesting to see how the first 5 to 8 minutes are called with the officials. I thought it was interesting, and I'd be interested in your take, what you thought of the officiating at the Penn State game, because I thought, I'll give you my thought first, the last 10 or 12 minutes of the game, I thought Iowa did not get a good whistle.
I would agree with you on that, but I was far more concerned from the standpoint of Penn State hitting 6 of their first 7 baskets to start the game. I thought that just set the tone for the rest of the day.
And I would agree. This is where I think Iowa, and again, the youth kind of shows up. And I hate to use that because it's not an excuse. It's an absolute fact. If you ever talk to people that, you know, have played the game, you got the two freshmen. Then you've got Isaiah Moss, who everybody thinks of all the time. But if you look at the minutes and when those minutes were played last year behind Peter Jock, Peter Jock was in there for the big minutes, the important minutes. So I think he's got to, you know, turn it on a little bit. You got Bear coming back from an injury. You know he's not in great basketball shape. And then you can keep going around where Bohannon is trying to do a lot with the ball. Where, again, last year, Peter Jock could get the ball up court and just take his own shot anytime he wanted to. So you've got some people that are kind of getting into new roles. They're getting into more pressure roles that they didn't have maybe last year. And there's certainly expectations, and I've got them too, of this group. But if I'm still talking like this in February, then I missed the boat on what I thought this team could be. But I think by February, you're going to see a really good basketball team that other people don't want to play.
So you mentioned Peter Jock, and I think that's an interesting point. Jordan Bohannon so far this season, he's had some good nights shooting the basketball, but is it safe to say at this point that until somebody else on the perimeter steps up and makes some shots and can be that second scorer, that he's going to be the focal point of a scouting of every opposing team's scouting report?
Yeah, if I'm the opposing coach, I'm going to go Bohannon 1, Isaiah Moss is 2, and in the back of my mind, I would say Isaiah Moss will get points some nights when he's well guarded, just because that's the type of scorer and shooter he is, and there'll be nights they don't guard him well, but he'll be 2 for 9. Now, Jordan Bohannon, if you give him open shots, and I don't even mean wide open, I'm just saying where he can get it off, we know he can make a lot of those. He's already at 50% for the year. Last year he was at like 45%. Quick release. Height doesn't seem to bother him. the thing that seems to be bothering Maurice when he has the ball, a lot of physical contact that so far hasn't been called.
Mac, 2235 on the Hurtin and Stalker text line wants to know if you think of Bohannon as more of a point guard or a shooting guard at this point.
That's what I think, point shooting guard. And I'm not trying to be irreverent to the question, but his asset is shooting to open up other people. But he is also Iowa's best ball handler. And Fran runs a lot of set plays. Bohannon's got a high basketball IQ to get the players into it, and he's very good at taking the second or third option because other teams scout very well. There was an out-of-bounds play. He took it out. It took away Iowa's first option, and he found the second option right away, and Isaiah Moss made a basket. So we really don't have what I would consider, you know, the true point guard, the jet, so to speak. You know, Arani Lester, Oliver, Woolridge, people that played the point and then had other shooters. Because even if he's playing the point, per se, and driving, now who's he kicking to? You know, who's he really trying to get open? Well, Isaiah Moss might be the only one.
Mac, you talked about a little bit about it earlier, but Indiana, they had a pretty spirited effort last Wednesday night at home against the number one ranked Duke Blue Devils. Then they went on the road and took one on the chin against Michigan. What do we know about Archie Miller's team?
Well, Archie is a defensive coach, comes from a great basketball family. I knew his dad, high school coach in Pittsburgh. You know, the whole family has been basketball, and obviously Sean at Arizona's got his own problems out there now trying to figure out what to do. But with Archie, he's going to get after people, he's going to get after his players. And I thought it was pretty interesting because he kind of brings that attitude that I think winning coaches, we've seen it from Hayden Fry, we've seen it from Fran, when they say, we played Duke well, but it was a loss. You know, that's not why we're playing, to have the fans sit around and go, ah, we were only this far away from Duke. We were three turnovers away from beating Duke. You know, he doesn't want that mentality out of his team, out of his coaches, or out of his players. So, again, I'm going to be really interested tonight at how they start the game for the first, and I'll go through 6 minutes or so, about the 14-minute mark, and see two things. How hard is Iowa playing? How hard is Indiana playing? How are the officials calling the ball or ball game? And then as substitutes start to come in, and that's usually when it is, who's going to have the best bench? I mean, Penn State had no bench, and we just didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, I probably got to pay better attention. I don't know if I've ever been to a game where all of the points were scored by the five starters and the team actually won the game, but that's what happened with Penn State on Saturday afternoon at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Hey, before we let you go, Mac, this will be the last time we talk before Thursday. Iowa State at Hilton Coliseum. Your thoughts on this year's Cy-Hawk matchup between the men?
I think if you take the Big Four in Iowa, Drake and you and I are probably exceeding expectations at this point, and Iowa and Iowa State may be a little disappointment. You know, that matchup I almost always take at home. If you made me bet, maybe, you know, put up a couple Dunkin' Donuts and coffee for you, I'm going to take the home team just because the fans really get into it, the players get up for it. But the matchup, I really think, will be Iowa's bigs creating difficulty for Iowa State to score. Iowa State no longer has Mr. Monte Morris, who I thought was one of the best 3, 4, 5 point guards to really create something last year. And without that, they won't be able to do some of the same things they did.
And very quickly, Mac, because I know you love New York City. It's no Las Vegas. Very few cities are. But I know you love New York City. What was the name of the Hawkeye Bar for those of you, those that are listening that are going to go to the Pinstripe Bowl this year that may want to check out a Hawkeye Bar in New York City? You remember what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. It was an Irish pub, but I believe he sold it and opened another one. But if people just go to iClub, and then they look, because there are iClubs in New York, you could get the email address there, maybe even the telephone number. But in the foundation, they have a sheet just called, you know, University of Iowa Athletic Eye Clubs, and they list them for all over the country.
All right, Mac McCausland, and we'll see what the Hawkeyes do tonight in Bloomington, provided the power stays on. We'll talk with you next Monday, Mac.
Hey, Hawks by 3, Iowa State. Tonight, I expect the game to be within 3, either way.
And it's a fine hat, by the way, Mac. I was just giving you a hard time.
Thank you.
All right, Mac. We always love catching up with Mac every Monday. Mac McCausland with us, talking a little Hawkeye hoops. And if the season plays out the way that it's looking right now, we'll talk other hoops with Mac as well, because I don't know how much meat is there with this Hawkeye team. But he didn't like me calling it a travesty. That was Penn State's first win at Carver Hawkeye Arena since 2001.
Wasn't great.
Okay. Now, I know they don't come to Iowa City every year. I get that. But that goes back to Steve Alford. That means that a Todd Licklider-coached team never lost to Penn State at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Just to put things in perspective. And yeah, all five starters scored 100% of Penn State's points on Saturday.
And they won.
Zero bench. Pat Chambers, by the way, I have a hard time not rooting for that guy. He seems like a really good individual, and he's a quality coach, and enjoyed listening to his comments. And he calls Fran McCaffrey Franny, as do a number of other Big Ten coaches, which I just...
Doesn't Tom Izzo call him Franny?
Tom Izzo is one of the people who refer to Fran McCaffrey as Franny as well. But I think tonight, as I mentioned with Mac, and granted, I'm a nobody here, and Iowa basketball doesn't care what I think, but you don't want to stare at 0-2 in Big Ten play for 3 weeks, because I think that can get to you mentally, and it's a lot like this future football schedule where Iowa is going to start Big Ten play in September, and I think in, week 2 of the 2022 schedule or something like that, they play Minnesota or Indiana right out of the game. I mean, you don't want to stare at 0-1 in the Big Ten for most of the month of September. And I think that mentality just sort of takes over and you start second-guessing yourself. But we'll see Hawkeyes and Hoosiers tonight, again, provided that the power stays on. And man, Indiana has just had a number of issues over the years. For such a storied basketball program with such great tradition, the roof has fallen in and now the power has gone out.
I'm just glad that when that happened, when the roof fell in, that nobody was in there when it happened.
Oh, yeah. No, and not to make light of it, if somebody would have been in there, or the game would have been going on, there would have been a tragedy. But since nobody did get hurt, we could make fun of them. That's the way that the world works, right? 525, we've got a $50 gift certificate to Hurteen & Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. That's going to be yours coming up before 6 o'clock tonight. Talk a little Nebraska football. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Scott Frost, they got their man, $5 million a year over 7 years. And he is hitting the recruiting trail, but also doing a little work for Central Florida still on the side as he gets them ready for their bowl game. Fascinating. Mike Schaefer from 24/7 Sports is going to be with us in just a few minutes to talk Big Red football. Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register kicks off hour number 3 tonight. And we'll know sooner rather than later who our Heisman finalists are this year. Plenty more to get to. Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. And anywhere, if you've got your smartphone with you, just search the KGYM app in the Google Play or iTunes Store. Download it, and there you go. We'll be right there in the warmth of your pocket. You can always think about us. And if that's not creepy.
That was creepier than that storm earlier.
That's not creepy. Then we can try to
in the studio.
We can try to top that. Quick break. Back with more after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
This isn't a plug for Honda generators. It's actually a lot of plugs. Honda generators offer quiet, reliable, and efficient power to energize your next tailgate party, for your home during an electrical outage, to power your tools on the job site, and take on your next camping trip. These gasoline power generators have easy starting and dependable Honda engines. See the full line of Honda power equipment at Acme Tools, 1943 Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
5:28. Welcome back in. Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up to 7 o'clock tonight, Monday Night Football and Cyclone Men's Basketball on tap for you. Plenty more to get to, but before we can move any further down the line, we got to squeeze in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. I won't make you wait for it this time. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Hawkeyes will spend the holiday in New York City this year during their trip to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl against Boston College. The Eagles were 7-5 during their season, 4-4 in the ACC, and come into this game having won 5 of their last 6. The Hawkeyes will try to win their first bowl game since 2010 on December 27th at Yankee Stadium. Iowa State, on the other hand, is heading to Memphis for what will essentially be a home game for Gabe Kuhn and Memphis in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. The Cyclones had 2 wins over top 5 teams and also tied the program's all-time high for conference wins, while Memphis went 10-2 and took the AAC championship game into double overtime. That game will be on ABC at 11:30 on December 30th. UNI season came to a close in the second round of the playoffs over the weekend, falling 37-22 to 6th-ranked South Dakota State. The Panthers finished the season 8-5 and have made the playoffs in 3 of the last 4 seasons. The Iowa basketball team lost to Penn State on Saturday, 77-73. Tyler Cook had a big day with 23 points and 12 rebounds, but the Nittany Lions were 12 of 23 from 3-1 in Iowa's Big Ten opener. The Hawkeyes are on the road at Indiana tonight. The Iowa women beat Samford yesterday, 80-59. They were led by Megan Gustafson with 18 points and 11 rebounds, and today she was named the Big Ten Player of the Week. She's been honored by the conference in each week of the season. Scott Frost was named head coach at Nebraska, and Iowa native and former Hawkeye Eric Chenander will follow him as the team's defensive coordinator. And tonight after the show, it's the Iowa State men on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and also Monday Night Football between the Steelers and Bengals on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
If I'm reading the contract right, and I'm taking a look at a reporting from a Nebraska news outlet, the first 5 of the 7 years on Frost's deal are fully guaranteed. So he's got at least $25 million guaranteed, and the buyout on his end would be $2.5 million per season. So not he's not going
That's
anywhere.
That's chump change compared to what Jimbo Fisher. Did you see that? I know we just have a few seconds. 10 years, $80 million guaranteed.
I saw Jimbo getting off the plane. They gave him a king's welcome in College Station. We're going to talk Big Red football for you Huskers fans, all 3 of you here in Eastern Iowa after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
XM.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski suspended 1 game by the NFL for his hit on Bills corner Tre'Davious White. He will appeal. White in the concussion protocol. An explanation from Giants co-owner John Mara on the firings of coach Ben McAdoo and GM Jerry Reese said ownership agreed wholesale changes were needed and it was pointless to wait. Also said the benching of QB Eli Manning had nothing to do with the decisions. It was about the record. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, interim coach, will be considered for the permanent job. The Giants' next GM and coach will have a tough road ahead, explains ESPN's Adam Schefter.
They're in a state of disrepair. They have a quarterback who's aging, who's at the end of his career, who doesn't have much time left. They're in a division with Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. They have a roster that's bloated with overpaid salaries that hasn't performed up to what it's been paid, and they have a number of moves that have to be made.
ESPN's Jordan Renan reports Giants going back to Eli as their starter. Pittsburgh receiver Antonio Brown plans to test his injured toe in warm-ups before decisions made if he plays on Monday Night Football, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN TV.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
Dad, you always pick.
Oh, shh. The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Rate plan requires new line of service. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tether. See store for details and terms and conditions.
That's the sound of your in-law's cat perched over your bed at 3 a.m. You wanted to save money this holiday, so you settled for their house. Now you're staring into the eyes of pure evil. If you booked a hotel on Priceline, you could have saved up to 60%. That's up to $120 a night. Plus, you'd be in your own comfortable, cat-free room. Save up to 60% on hotels when you book on Priceline and get the deals you won't find anywhere else.
Express deals are different. Exact hotel shown only after booking.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Book your next business trip at Upside.com and you'll get two amazing gifts this holiday season. A free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones and the gift of a better business travel experience. Upside's customer service specialists are available on demand by chat, phone, and email to make sure your business trip goes smoothly. Plus, they have great prices, too. Go to Upside.com and use code BOMANI to get your free Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Headphones available while supplies last. Must be first Upside purchase. $600 minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
5:35, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Remember, sometime between now and the top of the hour, your chance to take home a $50 gift certificate to Hertin & Stocker Jewelers located in Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street on the Ped Mall. Perhaps you could put it toward a nice stocking stuffer for Christmas. I had somebody ask me earlier today if I was done with my Christmas shopping yet. It is December 4th. Yes. And my answer was not quite. How early do most people finish up their Christmas shopping? 319-366-1600. You can let us know on the Hertin & Stocker text line. See how that ties in there? Hertin & Stocker, they're everywhere. But they're really at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. Stop on in. 70 years in business. A member of the Dickens family is always there. Speaking of family, Nebraska has one of its own back in charge of the program after 3 years, and Mike Riley's shown the door. Scott Frost, a tremendous turnaround at Central Florida. Can he do it again with the Huskers? That's the big question that folks around the Big Ten, including Hawkeye fans, are asking, because, look, if Nebraska gets back on track, it makes life a lot tougher for the Hawkeyes in the West. Mike Schaefer of 24/7 Sports is with us now to talk a little bit about how Nebraska landed Scott Frost. It was the worst-kept secret in college football, but at least according to some of the reporting, Mike, this was not necessarily settled until the last final minutes here. What do you know about how things officially came together with Nebraska and Scott Frost?
Yeah, I'm kind of feel like a little bit of that for business, but I think that this was pretty well agreed upon a good time prior to the actual announcement. I mean, we reported as this search was going on, and I kind of say search a little bit lightly there because it was a one man thing, but we reported on Sunday of last week, so Sunday after Iowa smacked Nebraska around a little bit, and the day after Bill Moose fired Mike Riley, that the timeline that we had basically come across is that Nebraska and Scott Frost had been in contact for several weeks. There was a meeting in Philadelphia in which an offer was essentially made as long as and with terms and figures that turned out to be what he accepted at the 7-year, $35 million range. And then he had until Tuesday of the next week to accept. They kind of blew right by that deadline, hammered back and forth as to what the agreement deadline would be. And then he accepted in tentative agreement as to some of the terms, and they were still figuring out some of the other terms on actual Black Friday. So some of the reports that I feel pretty well sourced on that we kind of reported. But at the same time, I mean, Nebraska ended up with their guy. I fully believe that there was some cold feet, certainly, you know, leading up to it. But I think he pretty well knew what he was going to do. And we can kind of see with what he's done since taking that job, the offers that have gone out, kind of the calculated nature in which the offers that they've made and who they've made them to. I mean, I think he knew pretty well what they were doing, and they were prepared. I mean, they brought a large chunk of their staff. I kind of doubt that these guys didn't know what was going to happen, and you're still bringing 8 people minimum along with you. And so I think that everyone kind of knew what the deal was, at least by mid to late November.
Mike, we've been speculating on this for the entire season, and it seems like the last couple of months, a lot of the Nebraska fans that we hear from and then you guys probably hear from as well have marked Scott Frost as the guy that they wanted to lead this program. Now that we know he takes over as the head coach, what's the level of excitement like with the fan base?
I mean, yesterday was fascinating. There was a lot of excitement from, you know, everyone that showed up, 200-plus letter winners that were there for the press conference. The whole thing felt like a very small-scale State of the Union. During his press conference, people clapping after the opening statement, clapping when he walked off the elevator. I mean, it was a very different feel. Eric Krauts, the former Nebraska quarterback, the Heisman-winning quarterback, spoke to me afterwards and said it felt like a member of his family had taken over the program again, and that was really important to him. And I think that's what it was for a lot of the guys that have put in the blood, sweat, and tears into the Nebraska program. They wanted somebody like that. They wanted it to feel as if it had previous. I mean, it's not going to look like Nebraska football of old, but they certainly feel like with somebody at the helm that understood what they went through in the 90s and the build in the 80s and 70s, that it could feel like that a little bit again. And I think that's what the hope is. I mean, it all sounds good here on December 4th. And, you know, what it looks like on March 4th or whenever they get those opening practices, and then again on September 4th, those are going to be two entirely different things. But as it stands right now, I can't imagine there would have been any other candidate short of, you know, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban territory that Nebraska fans would have rallied this much around.
You mentioned that this won't look like the Nebraska of old, and I think for anybody that kept track of the AAC title game, they know how up-tempo or saw Scott Frost at Oregon, how much up-tempo offense he wants to run. The thing is, Nebraska really hasn't ever run this type of offense. Is it more exciting or worrisome, just the change that we're going to see with a style of play for Nebraska moving forward with the fan base?
I don't think that I would say that they haven't run something similar. I mean, what they did with Tim Beck and Taylor Martinez towards the end of Bo Pelini's tenure and with a little bit Tommy Armstrong was similar. I mean, they really tried to push that tempo. And when they had Taylor Martinez, it was fairly multiple. But the real difference to me with what Scott Frost brings is a far better understanding of the passing concepts and the spreading of the field. I mean, the area where Nebraska failed when they ran the spread under Bo Pelini, and the reason that Bo Pelini, almost more than anything besides his personality, was showing the door, was the inability to develop quarterbacks that were multifaceted. And you look at what Mackenzie Milton did for UCF and during the season. I mean, he was an incredibly efficient quarterback. I mean, he He rarely turned the ball over, though he had a rough game against Memphis at times. But he was very good passing, and he threw for well over 300 yards in that game. And this is going to be a better passing attack than people think. I mean, a lot of people are attached to the idea that Scott Frost means that the option's coming back and it's going to be sweep left, sweep right, power run. And that's not at all what they were doing at UCF. So there's going to be a little bit of shock for some Nebraska fans that are attaching Scott Frost's name to what Nebraska did in the 1990s on offense, because it doesn't look like that at all.
No, nobody less than Tom Osborne the other day said that this is going to take some time. Now, you know as well as I do, as passionate as that Nebraska fan base is, they are not going to want to be patient. But what realistically is the timetable here for a turnaround in Lincoln?
Yeah, if patience is a virtue, it's one that Nebraska fans have never really discovered. I think that it's going to be difficult at first. I mean, I don't anticipate the 2018 season is going to be a particularly pretty one, especially when you look at the schedule. They've got a lot of tough games on the road. There's an opportunity to win six or seven games at home, but a lot of difficult games on the road. And all of that with the learning curve and getting used to a new staff and learning how to win again. I mean, that's a big part of this. Nebraska lost a lot of games under Mike Riley in which they had the opportunity to close the games out and they couldn't do it. Not so much against Iowa the last 2 years, but in other contests, they really snatched victory away from themselves. And so there's something to that. You have to learn how to win games. You have to learn how to put opponents away. And that's going to be part of this thing for Nebraska, and it's going to be part of that for the fan base too. They're going to have to learn what this offense is going to be like, and they're going to have to learn what the pitfalls of it could be and the challenges that are faced. I think there's going to be a lot more patience with Scott Frost than there ever would have been for Mike Riley. The one thing about this hire is it tends to unify just about all parts of the fan base, the older fans that want the return to what they've seen, the younger fans who want an exciting, you know, out there offense. I mean, it has a piece for everybody, but I think all parties agree that the 4-8 team that they saw this year from Nebraska was not very good, but it could have been better than how they finished. At the same time, there's a long road between where they want to be, the Iowa-Wisconsin, and where they are right now, which is closer to Minnesota and Purdue. And that's the reality of Nebraska at this point.
I think one of the more interesting responses that Frost had to a question during the press conference was someone asked, how is he going to adjust to the Big Ten? And he responded with, I hope they are going to have to adjust to us. And you think about his track record at Oregon, he had offenses in the Pac-12 that made the entire conference adjust to his style, and the same thing at UCF. Is there any doubt that he can do that in the Big Ten?
I don't think there's any doubt that he can do that. I mean, there's nobody in the Big Ten West that runs an offense remotely similar to this, and there's no one that's relatively close, if we're being entirely honest. And then in the Big Ten, the other teams that would be closest to it would be Ohio State and Penn State, but not at this full-fledged scale. I mean, UCF, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch the game on Saturday or have seen them previous, but they attack areas in the field that not a whole lot of teams are able to do, and they put a lot of stress on defenses with a run-pass option. And you've got to have somebody that can do that at the quarterback spot, or it's all going to fall apart anyways. But I think they have an opportunity to really kind of attack defenses in the Big Ten West that really haven't seen anything like this. And the first goal for Nebraska, besides just being bowl eligibility wise, has to be going out there and winning games in the Big Ten West. Don't be concerned about how it looks so much against, you know, the Penn States and the Ohio States. Prove yourself against Iowa and Wisconsin. I mean, they went 0-6 in the last 2 or 3 years. That's not around here. That's definitely not going to cut it. And so for Scott Frost, I think that has to be the initial goal. It's a great clip when you say it, but you got to be able to go out and make sure that offense is at least efficient enough that it's going to win you games. I think that will be the case.
I know it's really early here, but with the 24/7 Sports doing such a great job covering recruiting, what's the reaction been among Huskers recruits? And then obviously Scott Frost has thrown some offers out there early on as well, as we've seen reported.
Yeah, the reaction's been really good. They've got some visits lined up here for the next 2 weekends. They're hammering the junior college ranks in a way that they haven't done in 4 or 5 years. I mean, I think they've been at least a half dozen junior college offers in the last 48 hours, which is a lot in Nebraska. It used to be a place that took a lot of junior college players and haven't in recent years. So that's something to certainly keep an eye on. And the kids that I've talked to, both committed and uncommitted, there's a certain level of excitement because Scott Frost has reached out to them at a pretty pivotal part in his career, at a big moment. And if you think about it in this sense, there's a chance that Scott Frost will never be bigger than he was on Saturday evening, winning that game, all eyes of the nation watching as he's talking to Todd McShay and basically says that he wants to celebrate with his team when everybody knows he's leaving to go to Nebraska. He made six offers that night. He was on the phone with several of those kids. He offered an in-state player at Nebraska that is going to Wisconsin the same night that he formally accepted the job, or at least publicly. Those are big, big things, and those sit well with recruits. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be excited when a guy who was just on national television completing a 12-0 season calls you up and says he wants you to be part of the process at Nebraska. So the reaction has been really good. It's got to ultimately lead to commitment. And they've got to be the kind of kids that are going to come in ready to work, because there's a lot to be done for Nebraska to even get to half the level that UCF is.
Now, with Scott Frost reportedly staying and coaching UCF through the Peach Bowl, and with the, you mentioned the junior college signing period coming up, and now the early signing period, the December signing period, is there any concern with Frost staying in Orlando, at least for the time being?
Well, he's already on the road out recruiting right now. There's nobody that's really kind of been able to outline what this schedule is going to look like for everybody. I mean, the big thing here is they've got a week in which the kids are going to be off and they're not really going to be practicing. And then they've got another week where you're probably going to have pretty light practices that you don't need to have all your position coaches at. So I think they can figure this thing out. You think about it from UCF's perspective, though. I mean, I don't know how much those players are going to want Nebraska and that staff around, because they kind of feel abandoned a little bit. And so it's going to be kind of an interesting thing to watch. In my own opinion, I think that Frost needs to focus on Nebraska first and foremost. And then when that's all finished, you know, you and the staff could go down there in Florida and can help out with the bowl prep leading up to the Peach Bowl. But I don't know how this is going to play out. Neither side, whether it's Danny White on Saturday or Scott Frost on Sunday, had a real clear inclination as to what this is going to look like. But his focus, and I think it will be, but his focus really has to be on getting some ties signed in that early signing period, getting your early enrollees lined up, and making sure you're giving yourself your best shot.
Mike, we appreciate the time, and should make those Huskers and Hawkeyes showdowns, even though Black Friday's on its path to extinction, a little bit more interesting in the future. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Nebraska held up its end of the bargain here the last couple of years, but that hasn't been the case. Maybe Scott Frost can light some things up a little bit, but his first year is going to be rough.
Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Patience is not a virtue
that many Nebraska
fans hold, and I know that from listening to the post-game reaction and call-in show, and then having heard the news of Mike Riley's demise on the drive home the following day, Saturday morning. We were listening to the Omaha radio station on the way back to Cedar Rapids. The first bump in the road, the first time they lose a game, it'll be interesting to see how people react. But it's always easier when the coach is one of your own, because you never want to go after a guy who wore the uniform. And this is the guy that Nebraska fans set their hearts on. They wanted him 3 years ago and wound up with Mike Riley, who was a great guy. He just didn't win a whole lot of football games. He was sort of their version of Todd Licklider. And now they've got their guy, former player, and I like that comment there. People think that he's automatically going to bring back that style of play.
Do they watch football?
Do they watch?
Yeah. I don't understand. They're going back to the option. Have you watched any of his teams play in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years?
I actually think that they're going to like his style of play more than that back to the future style offense. But we'll see how things play out. It's going to be interesting. Now, Scott Frost, again, the first 5 years of that 7-year deal are guaranteed. And, yeah, there are reports out there. I think that's, look, the Nebraska media has a lot of guys who carry water for the athletic department and trying to suck up to the coach. And I think those reports out there that this was never finalized until the last possible minute, that's trying to make Scott Frost look a little better in this. They had this deal done a long time ago, and his comments publicly kind of point to that, about he's focused on finishing the regular season undefeated and all of that good stuff. Look, I don't know why you got to suck up to the coach and carry water, but that's exactly what that is. So read between the lines there. Choose to believe what you want to, but this deal was done a long time ago.
After the UCF-USF game, Lars Anderson of Bleacher Report said that an announcement will be made at 4 p.m. next Saturday, a week and a day before it happened. He was exactly right. So you can try to sell me on the fact that it wasn't finalized all you want, but it clearly was.
And Alex gets 21% of his college football news from men named Lars, so you can take him at his word.
21%, 550, that's a lot.
553. We'll step aside, take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if you were paying close attention a while ago, I said we were going to give out that gift certificate before 6 o'clock. So, hint, hint, get those phones ready. Back with more after this.
Looking for a career that you can actually be excited about? Look no further than CCC Information Services. CCC is now hiring remote customer service positions in the Cedar Rapids area. This position processes inbound calls and enters vehicle data for potential total loss insurance claims. The best part? You work from the comfort of your own home, not a call center. No commuting and no cost filling the gas tank. Great candidates will have 2 to 3 years of customer service experience, excellent verbal and written communication skills, and the ability to travel to Sioux Falls for paid training. CCC Information Services is a stable, growing employer, and they're eager to meet talented individuals with excellent customer service skills and a positive attitude. CCC offers competitive benefits, great bonuses, and career advancement opportunities. Starting pay is between $13 and $14 per hour. For full details and to apply online, go to cccis.com. CCC Information Services is an equal opportunity employer. Go to cccis.com right now.
You guys want to do it? Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
LowTUSA.com is a website to check out if you want to feel like making yourself great again. Maybe you don't feel like you did many years ago, coming out of high school, college. You want those years back, a little bit more energy. Now, where did the time go? You find yourself asking as you look in the mirror. You got a little extra weight around your belly. Life is dragging you down. I can't put my finger on it necessarily, but a lot of people feel like they're pulled in a number of different directions, and this feel like something's off. Well, maybe testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT, as it's referred to, could get you back to feeling like your old self. Guys, the website again is lowtusa.com. You're going to learn a little bit more about Mantality, a local men's health clinic. Yes, men's health clinic. If you check out that link, they're located in North Liberty. Taking appointments now, lowtusa.com. Covered by insurance, you're dealing with actual doctors. And the best part is they ship all of the medication right to your door. Lowtusa.com and Mantality. Welcome back. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. Our producer, Kyle Mann, with us. And bad news for fantasy football players heading into the fantasy football playoffs. Rob Gronkowski going to be suspended for one game for the Week 14 matchup with the Patriots. So
he deserved it.
Absolutely. But if you've got Gronk on your fantasy football team, you're going to be looking for a Tyler Croft or some other fill-in. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will join us tomorrow, or Wednesday on the program, to help you set your Week 14 lineups. I said Tyler Croft because I've got tonight's Monday Night Football showdown on my mind. Also, at the forefront of this brain. The hamster wheel is spinning, and it says it's time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Hawkeyes will spend the holiday in New York City this year during their trip to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl against Boston College. The Eagles were 7-5 during their season, 4-4 in the ACC, and come into this game having won 5 of their last 6. The Hawkeyes will try to win their first bowl game since 2010 on December 27th at Yankee Stadium. Iowa State, on the other hand, is heading to Memphis for what will essentially be a home game for Gabe Kuhn and Memphis in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. The Cyclones had 2 wins over top 5 teams and tied the program's all-time high for conference wins, while Memphis went 10-2 and took the AAC championship game into double overtime. That game's going to be on ABC at 11:30 on December 30th. UNI's season came to a close in the second round of the playoffs over the weekend, falling 37-22 to 6th-ranked South Dakota State. The Panthers finished the season 8-5 and have made the playoffs in 3 of the last 4 seasons. The Iowa basketball team lost to Penn State on Saturday, 77-73. Tyler Cook had a big day with 23 points and 12 rebounds, but the Nittany Lions were 12 of 23 from 3 and won in Iowa's Big Ten opener. The Hawkeyes are on the road at Indiana tonight. The Iowa women beat Samford yesterday, 80-59. They were led by Megan Gustafson with 18 points and 11 rebounds. Today, she was named the Big Ten Player of the Week. She's been honored by the conference in each week of the season. Scott Frost was named head coach at Nebraska, and Iowa native and former Hawkeye Eric Chenander will follow him as the team's defensive coordinator. And tonight after the show, it's the Iowa State Men on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and also Monday Night Football between the Steelers and Bengals on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
That's Samford, not Sanford. Okay, I was going to ask you if they had a Grady on their roster. 319-366-1600. It's the caller number 6 is going to take home that $50 gift card to Hurteen and Stockers located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Back with more of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Book your next business trip at Upside.com and you'll get 2 amazing gifts this holiday season. A free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones and the gift of a better business travel experience. Upside's customer service specialists are available on demand by chat, phone, and email to make sure your business trip goes smoothly. Plus, they have great prices, too. Go to Upside.com and use code BOMONI to get your free Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Headphones available while supplies last. Must be first Upside purchase. $600 minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't waste your holiday vacation cooking dinner. Instead, waste it watching TV or catching up on sleep. And let me prepare a home-style meal for the family with a KFC $20 fill-up. That's 8 pieces of delicious original recipe chicken, 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy, a large coleslaw, and 4 biscuits. Just $20. All right, get along now. That TV isn't going to watch itself. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
The concussion protocol. The Giants' firings of coach Ben McAdoo and GM Jerry Reese had nothing to do with the benching of quarterback Eli Manning, according to co-owner John Mara. More about the 2-10 record. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, interim coach, he'll be considered for the permanent job. ESPN's Jordan Renan reporting the Giants going back to Eli as their starter, and that's about one thing, believes ESPN's Ryan Clark.
This to me seems like I got 3 out of 4 games at home. I want some fans to come to the game. I want to garner some goodwill in some type of way. I want to show that we are being proactive in changing what's going on, not to win football games or not to get our organization back to the stability it's had for the last 40 years.